Hi, this is Radio.
Scientists Exposed radio show, part of the Freedomizer Radio Network. Yes, we trust science. It's just scientists we don't trust. Visit madscientists.exposed for many ways to listen or call in our live number at 319-527-6208. That's 319-527-6208. Press 1 to participate on the air. Again, that number is 319-527-6208. And now, here's our lead investigator, Suzanne.
Hi, welcome to another exciting episode of Mad Scientist Exposed. And I apologize, I had a little bit of technical difficulty logging in this time. I've just moved to a new location and, I've gotten my equipment all set up again. And then I just kind of flubbed it getting it to where I could log in easily. So anyway, here I am in today's exciting episode. If anybody noticed with all the excitement about the election, you know, Obama likes to bury his real egregious executive orders on a Friday night of a big weekend, and this was no exception. This past Friday night on November 4th, he issued an executive order called the Advancing the Global Health Agenda, and you can find that at whitehouse.gov. I've got a link to it from my site at madscientist.exposed on the page for today's episode, and it's kind of beyond belief. He's gonna, if he can't get Congress to pass the TPP, he's going to issue it piecemeal, order by order by order, and it's just horribly disgusting. And Donald Trump, if you're listening, I know you're busy tonight, but can't stand. It's an executive order. Let's see, I printed it out to PDF. I think it's about 10 pages long, and it's called Executive Order, Advancing the Global Health Security Agenda to Achieve a World Safe and Secure from Infectious Disease Threats. Well, number one, diseases are not a security issue, but he's invoking the security issue in order to get NHS involved, you know, Department of Homeland Security. He's, you know, he can get the TSA involved and all these police powers that they've accreted to themselves. I know we had a short public comment period for the CDC assigning itself police power so that they could detain and force vaccinate Americans all over the country. They could detain you at crossing state borders. And it's, you know, and the pretext was measles, the MMR vaccine, and that's not even a deadly disease to most people. Now, any disease can kill anybody if your nutrition levels are really down, if you're compromised in some other way, if you've been taking chemotherapy for cancer, you know, that knocks down your immune system so that they can take ownership of your body and you know, clear out the cancer. And the goal of chemotherapy is to hopefully kill the cancer before it kills the patient. But it doesn't always work that way. So I don't know what the CDC has decided in that issue, but this sure looks to me like part of it. Executive Order Advancing the Global Health Security Agenda to Achieve a World Safe and Secure from Infectious Disease. Now, nowhere in this executive order do they even mention the word vaccine. That would tip off too many bells and whistles, but, I mean, what else does infectious disease mean? To me, that's absolutely what it means. So it starts off, advancing the global health security agenda to achieve a world safe and secure from infectious disease threats. threats. Who's threatening? Unless it's bioweapons, huh? By the authority vested in me as president, by the Constitution and the laws of the United States of America, it is hereby ordered as follows. Section 1, policy. As articulated in the National Strategy for Countering Biological Threats and implemented in Presidential Policy Directive 2, PPD-2, promoting global health security is a core tenet of our national strategy for countering biological threats. No single nation can be prepared if other nations remain unprepared to counter biological threats. Now, is he talking about us as the other nation or other nations as the other nations? Because his duty is to the United States. Therefore, it is the policy of the United States to advance the global health security agenda. We don't have authority in other countries, which is multifaceted, multi-country, which is a multifaceted, multi-country initiative intended to accelerate partner countries' measurable capabilities to achieve specific targets to prevent, detect, and respond to infectious disease threats, GHSA targets, whether naturally occurring, deliberate, or accidental. So naturally occurring would be a natural disease, I guess. Deliberate would be a bioweapon. Or accidental, is that like the CDC mailing anthrax all over the U.S.? Was that an accident? Or they just don't want to say. I don't know. It's just too much. The roles, responsibilities, and activities described in this order will support the goals of the International Health Regulations, IHR, and will be conducted as appropriate in coordination with the World Health Organization, Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations, FAO, or World Organization, spelled with an S, spelled with an organization. This is a British spelling. He just took something that somebody handed him and signed it. Oh, my gosh. Organization is spelled with a Z, folks, if you're an American. But Obama, you know, he's barely given up the pretense of being American anymore, apparently. World Organization for Animal Health, that's OIE, Global Partnership Against the Spread of Weapons and Materials of Mass Destruction. I hope he means bioweapons by that. The International Criminal Police Organization, Interpol, and other relevant organizations and stakeholders. I guess our own state patrols and city police have nothing to do with it, unless I guess they've installed the UN Safe Cities Partners, to advance the achievement of the GHSA targets and to support the implementation of the IHR within partner countries, each executive department, agency, and office agency, in parentheses, yeah, I don't know why he's repeating himself, shall, as appropriate, partner, consult, and coordinate with other governments, international financial institutions, international organizations, oh, now it's got a Z, regional organizations with a Z, economic communities, and non-governmental stakeholders, including the private sector. This is Section 2, GHSA, Interagency Review Council, coordination and policy development and furtherance of the policy. This is a lot of legalese, but you folks would probably like to go read this and develop a report on an annual basis, conduct an overall review. So this is a lot of coordination. Participation. The council shall consist of representatives serving at the assistant secretary level or higher from the following agencies: Department of State, Department of Defense, Department of Justice, Department of Agriculture, Department of Health and Human Services, Department of Homeland Security, Office of Management and Budget, United States Agency for International Development, the Environmental Protection Agency, Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the Office of Science and Technology Policy, and such other agencies as the agencies set forth above by consensus deem appropriate. It goes on and on. So it's kind of like just rolling us into the New World Order. You know, we're going to coordinate with all these other countries. The Secretary of Defense will do this. The Attorney General will do that. Secretary of Agriculture shall do this. You know, I'm skipping through. Secretary of Health and Human Services shall do that. Homeland Security will do this. Assess the impacts of global health threats on Homeland Security operations and lead in conjunction with the Secretary of Health and Human Services, the Secretary of State, etc. Secretary of Agriculture, United States government, activities related to global health threats at the U.S. borders and ports of entry. Well, it's about darn time he started paying attention to the diseases walking across the border. I don't mean the people. I mean the diseases they're carrying. And there are news stories out there about tuberculosis and leprosy and things that we haven't seen in many decades in the U.S. is now openly invited in my little kitty. You can tell when I'm upset and jumps on my lap with her nails. Anyway. Administrator for the United States Agency for International Development, Shell. Oh, it goes on and on and on. A CDC will do this, and that general provisions, nothing construed to impair or otherwise affect. Well, anyway, I'm just skimming through it real fast, but it's, I'm at the bottom already. So we've got this big coordination, and we're harmonizing with the global health security agenda. And when you hear the word harmonizing, that means trouble. I remember it's about 20 years ago now, we harmonized our patent law with European law. And that was very detrimental to U.S. inventors, because in the U.S. the law had been the first to invent. And if you had a squabble, you could duke it out in court, and the first to invent would be awarded the patent. Whereas in European law, and in fact Japanese law, it's the first to file. So if somebody's working on a project and somebody else gets wind of it and runs to the patent lawyers and files the patent first, well, the original inventor totally loses out. And that's now what we have going on in the U.S. We have these newfangled provisional patents that you quick file as soon as you have an idea. And it's a lower cost, then you test market it, and then you go for the bigger the bigger pie later. And what you're doing is grabbing your date, your initiation date, your filing date by doing that. And, so there are ways that inventors can protect themselves, so they have to know about it. And, if you're just a little mom and pop in your kitchen table and you come up with a really neat idea and you want to write to a company and say, hey, what do you think about this? You're not protected just by it being your idea anymore. That company can just run away with it and go tell you to go pound sand. And they have all the lawyers that can do it. You just got to be really careful anymore. I've been down the inventor's road, and my patent did issue before they changed the law. And so now it's a bit past expiration. But, I filed and I didn't even approach any companies until the patent issued, and boy, that made some people mad. It was a multinational corporation that didn't come up with the answer that they were trying to solve, but I did come up with it. And it's a big long story, but we really don't want to harmonize with European law. Anyway, I'm sure dovetails with this CDC issuing police. Police powers to itself. And that was, I talked about that. I guess that was the submitting comments. This was back in October. Yeah, October 11th, the militarization of the CDC, we talked about that, because the closing period for comments was going to be that following, like 3 days later. And so if I link over to that page, I can see maybe what they decided. If they did decide, because now it's been, it hasn't been quite a month. Who knows? Maybe they're waiting for the outcome of the election. This has really been scary. I've been just upset all day, because I know they're trying to, I can't even stand to watch the pundits. I can't watch even Fox News. They're just so wringing their hands. Nobody's going to call the election, because, I truly believe, I don't know anybody. I take it back. I know one person who's voting for Hillary. One person in my whole life. I'm voting for Hillary. Everybody else is like, Hillary, no way. And now that all this stuff is coming out about WikiLeaks, the FBI did her dirt, because, either she's lying that she didn't release any confidential information classified when we know she did, or she's totally incompetent. And but now even more is coming out about her actual core beliefs of her system. And before I get really upset and talk about that, I should just initiate the first break here and wind down my monologue. So here, let me I'll be right back.
Vaccines are required for students, employees, immigrants, military members, and international travel. Do you know how to legally avoid them? This is vaccine rights attorney and Freedomizer radio host Alan Phillips. My vaccine exemption ebook can help you avoid the mistakes that have cost others their exemption rights. Get the authoritative guide to vaccine legal exemptions, an ebook available at freedomizerradio.com and vaccinerights.com.
Let freedom ring throughout the land.
Ohio? What? West Virginia?
This is Monica Floyd, your brand new host on Dark Minds Think Alike radio show on Freedomizer Radio. We'll have special guests on each seat with unique perspectives from behind the curtain. Tune in, call, or chat with us during our live broadcast at 347-324-3704. You can catch us Tuesday and Thursday, 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, and 12 noon to 1:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
I want to hear about the Serenity Rug, and it's just not playing here. My Serenity Rug commercial broke, so I'll play something else.
Does the media ever deceive the public?
How would you like to make your work more enjoyable, be more creative and relaxed, all while sitting at your desk? That's exactly what my Serenity Rug has done for me. This revolutionary footrest, I can't even call it a footrest, because this thing encourages movement of your feet, which results in more blood flow. While traditional footrests advocate the motionless placement of your feet, I found that I'm unconsciously digging my feet into the long, soft grass strands of the Serenity Rug. It delivers an incredibly relaxing sensation that closely resembles the feeling of an exotic foot massage. If you have ever had a foot massage that made you want to stay there for hours, you know what I'm talking about. If you have not heard about the Serenity Rug, check them out at serenityrug.com and join the exclusive Serenity Rug community and enjoy a feeling of comfort and relaxation that most will never experience. They've sold out before, so I suggest you do your feet a favor and grab one of these. Again, that's serenityrug.com.
Hi, so if you'd like to join the conversation, our call-in number is 319-527-6208, 319-527-6208, and dial 1, and I'll see the little mark come up on the board here, and I'll put you on. So we do have a caller. Hi, you're live. Is this it?
Hello, thank you.
Hi.
Always a pleasure. Well, you were talking about executive orders. And so Obama's executive orders, and I know he's done some that seem pretty sinister and upsetting. And, a lot of people resent this, a lot of people resent it. But so what I did here is I looked up a chart that has executive orders of presidents, starting with George Washington. Well, guess what? George Washington had one executive order. Barack Obama has had 33. After George Washington, the next 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 presidents had zero executive orders. Andrew Jackson had one executive order. Then after that, 2 executive orders, 0, 4, 4, 3, 4. By the time of Abraham Lincoln, Lincoln had 11 executive orders during his time of office. And then slowly kind of went up a little bit, but it really went up with Teddy Roosevelt. Of course, Teddy Roosevelt was a very kind of pushy and dominating kind of guy, and he wanted things just his way. So he had 144 executive orders. That's right. But then Woodrow Wilson beat him. Woodrow Wilson, of course, with the First World War and with all the things that he was pushing, you know, and prohibition and whatnot. 225 executive orders. Then it backed down a little bit. Calvin Coolidge, Herbert Hoover. Franklin D. Roosevelt holds the record. 290 executive orders. Can you imagine that? I mean, this was like ruling by fiat. I mean, it looks like, do you remember one of the things Roosevelt tried to do was to add 5 more members to the Supreme Court? I mean, I think he was just anytime he felt like it, he did an executive
order.
You
said Barack Obama has only issued 33. What I'm looking at here,
that's right,
is
only
235.
I just realized.
235. Barack Obama has issued 235.
Then you know what? Here's my mistake. I'm just looking at an asterisk on here. It says through October 20th of 2014. So are you telling me that he did almost 200 executive orders since October of, 2 years ago? Wow. Then that's really a record.
I don't know.
That's
He's gotten slacked in every midterm election. And I suspect that he didn't actually win in 2012. So, yeah, I'm looking at the chart on WikiLeaks. Total orders. Since George Washington issued 8.
Oh, really? He did?
Yeah. Now, see, it says Theodore Roosevelt issued 1,081. Now, I wonder how many of these have been ordered. Franklin D. Roosevelt has issued 3,522.
He'd have to be issuing an executive order every other day in his whole administration. I know he didn't do that. Well, let me see. We'd have to ask what the source is of this kind of thing, huh? Source, this is the American Presidency Project. It's 538, I guess. The 538 website somehow I got. But anyway, one thing is for sure. Democrats have had a lot more executive orders than Republicans have. Republican presidents have looked like they have had maybe 40%, 35% or something, as many as the Democrats. Clinton had 45. Jimmy Carter had 80. Johnson
had 364. So we're looking at two different charts.
I don't want to screw anything up here. This is...
Well, you know, there's executive orders, and then there's executive something else. They're not all called orders. And I forget what the other one is called. So maybe they're consolidating the I've got too many tabs open.
Well, let me see. You know what? Maybe you're right. It says here, executive orders, orders per year in office by president. Oh, okay. That's per year per office. At that rate, that would mean that Franklin D. Roosevelt must have had almost 2,000 executive orders because he was in there from January 33 until his death in 45 or 44. So he was there a long time.
I don't know.
So that sounds about right. Barack Obama has been there 7 years, 7 times 6. That would be over 200. You know what? You're absolutely right. I'm absolutely wrong. I'm very sorry. I had no idea that there were this many executive orders being pumped out there. That's incredible. That's just incredible.
Yeah, he's behind George W. Bush. But it just seems like Obama's are especially egregious, you know, because it's all about it's all about pushing agendas that Congress won't pass.
Mm-hmm.
Huh, it says John F. Kennedy issued 214.
214, okay.
He didn't live that long. His presidency was 3.5 years? Yeah, not even 3 years, almost 3 years.
Not quite 3 years, yeah. So that's okay, so my chart says 75. So in other words, 3 times, and that's what, but 225, is that what you've got?
I've got 214, yeah.
Yeah, so that's the secret of it. Well, there's a lot more executive orders than I had any idea were going out. They just pumped them out. That's incredible.
Yeah. Well, Franklin
Some
Roosevelt,
3,522,
fighting World War II. So I don't know what kind of orders he issued.
And Theodore Roosevelt he wanted to do a lot of stuff. He was cleaning up, a lot of graft and corruption. He was, after the Spanish American War, Let me see.
Who?
I'm trying to think of what he was. He was fighting the Rockefellers,
Roosevelt.
The Crusts. I was thinking that
Theodore Roosevelt.
Yeah, Theodore Roosevelt.
Yeah, but Franklin Roosevelt issued 3,500.
I can see that now. Wow. Just incredible. I'd like to see a list of them.
Yeah. I'm trying to see if now they'll give us the list of them or...
Oh, Suzanne and Stonebearers that brought
them.
That in.
No. I mean, I had no idea that there were so many executive orders out there and how... how it's really grown. So Truman issued 907, Eisenhower issued 484. You know, and it makes a difference how many years are in office. So Johnson is at 325. So they do give, so the chart I'm looking at on WikiLeaks, I just, what did I Google? Mm-hmm. How many executive orders has Obama issued? And it gave me that answer, but it gave me a list of United States federal executive orders, but it doesn't actually give me the orders. It just gives me how many. Just how many they've ordered, and it gives, you know, which president, total number of orders, the order number range, which most of them are unnumbered, years in office so that they can average it, and then orders per year, and then it gives the period that they were in office.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, I just think this is his habit of issuing these things on a Friday night because the NDAA were essentially nationalized all fuel sources, all medical sources, all food sources, all water sources, all, you know, everything is owned by the military. And this is since Friday night, the night before St. Patrick's Day, 2012. And so we're only allowed to grow our gardens and our little farms and everything or whatever by the grace of Obama because he's declared that the military owns it. all your armed sources, everything, you know, anything that would mean anything to you, the military owns it by Barack Obama's decree on that night on Friday. And they figured, you know, everybody's going into St. Patrick's Day weekend, they're partying, they're having their beers and their corned beef cabbage, and nobody's paying attention. Well, I was paying attention. I was pretty darn upset about it. So this one was just a couple nights ago. I'm sure he chose the timing so that we wouldn't really notice it. And I provide a link to it. And this whole thing about the CDC militarizing itself, I don't know where that's going to go ultimately. Because, you know, people aren't going to stand for it. I just can't imagine the American people would stand for being arrested and forced vaccinated. There's going to be heck to pay over that. I mean, from what little I've been listening to, this election has upset me so much. What little I've heard on the radio, actually it was a show before mine, the Zone 13, a lady called in and she was talking about gun shops being very busy today because they're expecting trouble, you know, depending which way it goes. And I know they've been working, all the media has been working so hard to the mainstream to make this look like such an even fight that they can't even call it anymore. You know, none of the polls, all the polls had Hillary just a little bit ahead, but it's always been very, very close, within 2 points. And now it comes right to the down to the end, and they still can't call it. And the headline on Drudge is, the evening voters will be deciding it because it's just too close to call. And like, heck, that's what they told us about Brexit. That, you know, didn't those of us who watched the Brexit vote, we stayed up all night. Because they just would not call the districts where it was being pushed over the top. And it was finally, you know, I gave up and went to bed and, you know, woke up in the morning. Okay, it was an overwhelming victory for Brexit. And, you know, really just the British mainstream media didn't want to tell us. They didn't want to admit it. So it's like, I'm not going to sit up and watch that. I mean, I know it's overwhelming. It's just that's the gut feeling I've got. I don't know but one person who voted for Hillary.
And, Suzanne?
Yeah.
Suzanne? Did you hear that Newsweek magazine and I think one other magazine already have Hillary Clinton, victory editions ready to go, but they've been already ready for more than 24 hours. They just want to hit the stands with those.
Well, it's
but you know,
possible.
It's so embarrassing because there's no way to tell. She might very well land on her face in this election. You know.
Yeah, it's possible if they printed up two issues, you know, one for either one, so they would be ready to run to the presses.
No, I don't think they did. I think no.
You don't think?
I heard it was only a Hillary edition, only a Hillary edition, not a Trump edition.
Because I know they'll do that. They'll write obituaries in advance so they can hit the press first, you know. So, you know, here, so I'm on the front page of Drudge right now. They're calling, I don't know if they're done counting, but it says Georgia, Trump 69-29, Florida.
Are you kidding?
Clinton 49. They're calling Florida by 1 point for Hillary. I don't believe that. I don't know if those polls are even, you know, but we'll see.
That might change.
North Carolina, Trump 54-44. New Hampshire, Clinton 55-40. Ohio, Clinton 51-45. I don't know about
this?
That.
You're getting this done.
I'm looking at the front
this
page of Drudge.
Now
Pennsylvania, if Trump takes that, it's major. So there, it's still 0-0. They're not counting Pennsylvania. They're going to make us wait overnight for Pennsylvania. I guarantee you. They're not even going to start calling it. They're going to drip that out, you know, one little district at a time.
Sure.
And Virginia is, they're calling Trump 54-41.
Now we count. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, hey, the numbers changed, but Pennsylvania's still zero. Okay, so Trump is up 70-28 in Georgia.
That does not look good.
Florida, Clinton, still 1 point.
Well,
now they're calling North
unusual,
Carolina for Clinton.
Virginia.
Hey, they flipped
that's
North
unusual,
Carolina. I don't believe it. What?
That's very unusual that Virginia would be ahead of Clinton that much. I mean, that Trump would be that ahead in Virginia, because that, I think, was a blue state pretty much. That was a blue state. He should have more in Virginia than he has in North Carolina. North Carolina is more like a purple state, you know? So,
well, he does have more in Virginia than North Carolina. They were calling North Carolina before I hit refresh. They were calling North Carolina for Trump, and now they're calling it for Clinton.
There's some graft and corruption.
I don't think I can watch this
anymore. That's crazy. No.
I don't think I can watch this.
Do you understand what I mean? do you understand what I mean?
What?
Virginia was supposed to go for Clinton, and North Carolina was a purple state. It could go either way. So now it's very strange that Virginia is going to Trump, but North Carolina could be going to Clinton. That doesn't make sense. There must be some kind of anomaly there.
I don't know how many precincts have reported yet.
Mm-hmm. That's right. It's like they're updating.
Yeah.
2, 3, 4, 5.
Yeah.
How many states do they got?
Yeah, they're
still
showing light blues and pinks on this map here.
Hmm. You know where I went to? I went to Sky News from England, because that's the only one that I could get on the live stream. I could not get NBC, ABC, Fox, nothing on the live stream. But I did get Sky News, and they were reporting 3 or 4 states that Trump got, so.
Well,
we don't know. We don't know if Mr. Trump.
Yeah.
I can't do an English accent, sorry.
Well, the polls aren't closed in New York yet, because I know they're open until 9.
Oh.
So there's still some polls on the East Coast that haven't even, certainly right. Not the West Coast or Hawaii or Alaska. So it's going to be a long night. I don't. You know, Hillary, boy, if they hand it to her, it's going to be a constitutional crisis, because I don't know how many people listening have been following the WikiLeaks things or the other leaks, but the FBI isn't the only agency investigating her. The New York Police Department, they got their hands on Anthony Weiner's laptop, and they found some of her confidential government, State Department classified information.
You know
they also found some child porn of his, and they also found
it is
WikiLeaks
recorded.
Has been leaking John Podesta emails, and he's the head of Hillary's campaign, that imply pedophilia and child abuse of unspeakable nature. So this is going to be coming out more and more. If they hand her the election, and then she can't assume the office, because, I mean, the crimes are so over the top. This isn't just information, you know, on her computer where it shouldn't be, or on her home server. This is actual predatory stuff that not only is Podesta involved in, but occasionally that she was involved in predatory stuff. So, you know, it's I can't watch Alex Jones anymore, because they're talking about it and talking about it and talking about it, and it's making me sick. It's nauseating, and not because I don't believe it. I do believe it because I think these people at the top who are elite and are child predators, I think all the babies dying of vaccines, I think that's intentional. This is sport to these people. These are Satanists.
Yeah.
And the people at the very top of all of it that are paying each other and, you know, the big bucks and all this stuff, one has the power, you know, the Clintons have the power and the corporations have the money, and they're just hand in hand with this depopulation agenda, and they just positively take sport in this whole thing. And some of them take individual sport, like Bill and Hillary and Podesta, and some of them take a more general long-distance sport, you know. There's nothing more beautiful and perfect than a newborn baby, and just vaccinate the hell out of them the way that we're doing. I mean, our own National Institute of Health has the charts on the countries that vaccinate the most in the first year have the highest infant mortality rate in the first year. It's a done deal. Our own government publishes that, and, you know, I guess there's still some people telling the truth, but it's they're being run out of office faster and faster. And that's right through the relationship to this executive order. You know, they want to spread this all over the world, this vaccine agenda, and you know, this global initiative. And the more you read into this, there's all these other governments. That Bill Gates Foundation has their hands in this, and he has openly stated his depopulation agenda, and he has openly talked about reducing the population using vaccines. And just the most absurd thing you could ever hear of. I strongly encourage people to read up on this stuff. And, you know, I provide a lot of links. And I know there's a new flu vaccine out this year, too, that I was hearing about. And now I guess Alex Jones has a video out about it now, too. He's got his doctor group on and talking about the side effects of the new flu vaccine. And it always, every flu that's been in the past, plus they throw in a few more each year. So you've got, you know, H1N1 injection and several other injections. Let's see, that all in the same flu shot. Let's see, it's all on video. So you'd have to go to the Alex Jones site to see it. But they've got adjuvants such as squalene in it. And squalene was the cause of Gulf War syndrome in the anthrax vaccine that they forced our soldiers to take back in Gulf War I. And it's just beyond belief. And if they're going to start arresting people first, if the CDC has, you know, planted all these anthrax release points all over the country by mailing it all over, then they can have, you know, the simultaneous spread of anthrax disease all at once, and then they can start declaring mandatory anthrax vaccine. And I see, you know, under every rock here, as I know the other night on 60 Minutes, they had on a guy talking about, it was researchers talking about the Zika virus and how they're developing a vaccine from that. And they can just take out the H1N1 out of their flu vaccine and stick in the Zika, you know, edit the DNA, and they don't even have to test it. They'll just shoot it right into you, the Zika virus vaccine. And, you know, there's research out there that showing that it's not the actual Zika virus causing these horrible birth defects in South America. It's actual the pesticides they're spraying to control the mosquitoes down there, that the mosquitoes happen to be carrying Zika, but they can't blame it on overmanagement of the environment with their pesticides, their anti-mosquito pesticides. The pesticide is designed to damage the neurological system of the developing mosquito larvae. And here we have it causing brain damage in developing human fetuses. You know, I see a parallel there, and other people are seeing a parallel there, and there's some statistics on it that it's actually pesticide. So what do we have in Florida? Well, it's getting a little too cold for mosquitoes. And I guess the ground hasn't frozen there yet. But lo and behold, they were aggressively spraying Miami areas around there. And Governor Rick Scott's own wife is heavily invested in the pesticide companies that were doing the spraying. So, you know, I just want the governments to all go away and just leave us alone, because they're not so there's too many self-serving agendas by all these people. It's all it's not all just money. Some of it is truly satanic type, we want to kill your children kind of thing. So do you have any? Oh, well, I guess we lost Ed. Oh, I'm sorry about that. But I know he's very interested in the election and watching their turns and all that. So take another break here, and I'll be back in a moment.
U.S. trade negotiators are pushing to complete the TPP this year. They're trying to keep it under the radar. The best way to stop the TPP is to drag it into the light of day. Right now, negotiators have appointed approximately 600 corporate lobbyists to serve as cleared advisors on the TPP, while refusing to release any of their negotiating proposals for public review. The corporate media is unlikely to inform the public about the TPP. We need to do it ourselves.
Hey, Freedomists, join me, Proof Negative, weeknights, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific, as we fight the New World Order together, right here on Freedomizer Radio, your exclusive home of the Proof Negative Show.
Hi, everyone. Here is a sponsor that you can help save yourself some money and find new places to check out. Save Around is a very popular coupon book throughout most major U.S. cities. With Save Around, you get buy one, get one free restaurant, discounts on many department stores, car rentals, flowers, etc. With Save Around, you not only fund our network, you help fund your family and save yourself some money while eating out. I have a family of four. A decent meal is upwards of $60 for us, and if I could save $10 to $15 while taking out the family, I am very happy. You can view these books in your area before buying. Please check out FreedomizerRadio.com and our BarefootIsLegal.org website for the link. Check out the new book, click on your city, and in a few days, you will be saving yourself some cash with your new Save Around book.
Are you sick of being a chump, lied to by politicians and businessmen alike, watching as the world slowly burns, as trillions of debts racked up under your grandchildren's names? Hi. I'm Ben Lucifer Bernanke Cochran. I'm asking that you tune into my weekly radio show, The Patriot Power Hour with Lucifer Bernanke, each Thursday night at 6 p.m. Eastern on Freedomizer Radio. Look, I'm not trying to sell you anything here. I just need your help fighting these banks just scum. They're sick of fans, they're behind all the wars, failed healthcare system. I mean, they own all the mega banks, all the mega corporations. They own the media, of course. They've already conquered most of humanity, really. And their juiciest final target. Well, we're next. America's next. So I'm not going out without fighting. So join me Thursday as I use my background in finance and risk management to decode breaking news and developments, all while helping to prepare you and your family for the future waves of financial terrorism that are sure to come. Thursday nights, 6 p.m. Eastern, only on FreedomizerRadio.com.
This way, there have been numerous studies, and they have not demonstrated that there's any correlation between vaccinations and autism. This was something that was spread widely 15 or 20 years ago, and it has not been adequately, revealed to the public what's actually going on. Vaccines are very important, certain ones, the ones that would prevent death or crippling. There are others, there are multitude of vaccines, which probably don't fit in that category, and there should be some discretion in those cases. But, you know, a lot of this is pushed by big government, and I think that's one of the things that people so vehemently want to get rid of big government. You know, we have 4.1 million federal employees, 650 federal agencies and departments. That's why they have to take so much of our taxes.
Should he stop saying it? Should he stop saying the vaccines cause autism?
Well, you know, I've just explained it to him. He can read about it if he wants to. I think he's an intelligent man and will make the correct decision after getting the real facts.
Mr. Trump, as president, you would be in charge of the Centers for Disease Control and the National Institutes of Health, both of which say you are wrong. How would you handle this as president?
Autism has become an epidemic. 25 years ago, 35 years ago, you look at the statistics, not even close. It has gotten totally out of control. I am totally in favor of vaccines, but I want smaller doses over a longer period of time. Because you take a baby in, and I've seen it, and I've seen it, and I had my children taken care of over a long period of time, over a 2 or 3 year period of time, same exact amount. But you take this little beautiful baby and you pump, I mean, it looks just like it's meant for a horse, not for a child. And we've had so many instances, people that work for me just the other day, 2 years old, 2.5 years old, the child, a beautiful child, went to have the vaccine and came back and a week later got a tremendous fever, got very, very sick, now is autistic. I only say it's not, I'm in favor of vaccines. Do them over a longer period of time, same amount.
Thank
but
you.
Just in little sections.
Dr. Carson?
And I think you're going to have, I think you're going to see a big impact on autism.
Dr. Carson, you just heard his medical take.
He's an okay doctor.
Okay.
But, you know, the fact of the matter is we have extremely well-documented proof that there's no autism associated with vaccinations. But it is true that we are probably giving way too many in too short a period of time. And a lot of pediatricians now recognize that and I think are cutting down on the number and the proximity in which those are done.
And that's
I think
all
that's
I'm saying, Jake. That's Dr. all
Paul?
I'm saying.
Dr. Paul, I'd like to bring you in.
So that was the second Republican debate before the primaries with Ben Carson and Donald Trump. And Trump's ambivalence is pretty obvious there, and Ben Carson couldn't refute anything he said. And Ben Carson is the neurosurgeon doctor. So this will play out in time if Trump is elected. I did see an article recently about the producers of the movie Vaxxed, who exposed the fraud that went on with the MMR vaccine and the CDC. They had a private meeting with Trump, and they were talking to him about the issue. And the outcome of the issue was that they really believed that Trump would at least be on board with not mandating vaccines, especially on little kids. And, you know, I've been suspicious because I've seen references to it. Alex Jones refers to it as if everybody knows. Well, I'm not everybody. I don't know it, and I can't prove it. But ISIS, Donald Trump's youngest son, has been affected. And, you know, and I think that was probably part of the wake-up call for Trump. I mean, he was toying with the idea of running for president for a lot of years. And with this epidemic and being personally hitting home and seeing how many, you know, of course, trade is his big issue. That's his big talent. And I think he'll have somebody wise as a surgeon general. We'll see. We'll see. So you have any comments on that, Ed? Are you still there?
Hi. Yes, I am. I thought that was a very interesting exchange that Carson had with Trump about it. They actually talked about it quite a bit more than I seem to remember. Trump really got into it with him, you know? He really poured out his heart. And it makes me think that you're right about Barron. Although I have no evidence about that. I've never read a thing about it, but I think you're right. I think he has personal experience.
I spent like the better part of a morning trying to Google it one time, and I couldn't find any online proof. All I've got is comments by Alex Jones buried in some of his videos. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's got no articles on it, so it's not Googleable. But that's just a guess. And even if it's not Barron, Trump has seen it happen to a child where the child was perfectly fine and then he wasn't anymore. So, you know, there's just too many stories where people can point to the regression date. And, you know, this fits into the depopulation agenda. You know, if your kid isn't killed by vaccines, maybe he just won't be, he'll be too crippled to have a family of his own. This is, you know, so they call it the soft kill down the road. And, you know, and it's certainly that harmonizes with advancing the global health agenda, and that harmonizes with the Georgia Guidestones of reducing the world population down to half a billion, from 7 billion down to half a billion. That's over 90%. So, you know, it certainly this dovetails with the Satanism and the things that we're hearing now, just starting to leak out, the predatory people on children and how malevolent they are, how they view children. And you know, I've known very Catholic loving families to actually not discuss with people how many children they actually had at home, because in this modern culture they're embarrassed. So this is a family that had, I think they had 8 children at the time. I think they eventually ended up with 9. But, you know, the father told me, you know, they don't all ride in the car at once. They don't have a car big enough to do it. And so, you know, he was just, you know, when he goes to work and does his job, he just doesn't tell people where he works, how many kids he's got, and that kind of stuff. And I just felt sorry for him. I was like, well, if I had 9 kids, I'd be damn proud of him, you know. And, you know, but he was feeling embarrassed in the modern culture. And where did that modern culture come from? It's from the depopulation people who want you to have fewer and fewer children until you hardly have any, you know, or maybe none. And it's, you know, now they're pushing this in Africa. You know, the doctors in Kenya found the tainting of it's the tetanus vaccine. I guess they still have it as a single vaccine in Africa, but not in the U.S. And in the U.S., it's a triple vaccine. It's diphtheria, tetanus, and pertussis. But over in Africa, it's tetanus and anti-pregnancy vaccine, so that if you get pregnant, you just keep miscarrying, you know, and never actually give birth to living children. So.
Veneration of life, you know, there's no respect for life, no veneration for life of either the young or the old, you know, or anyone in between. And if you have no veneration for life, and if you want to actually reduce the population, then, you know, people like that could become pervertedly fixated on having sex with children, babies or whatever, because that seems to be what's coming out. That seems to be what's just around the corner.
It's more than that. Then not once that crime occurs, then it's not leaving the witnesses behind, kind of thing. And you know, we've all heard of Hillary's bodies before, but we haven't heard so much about the little bodies. And this is going to come out over time.
That just terrifies me.
I know the mainstream media isn't covering it yet, but if you get into these back channels that are not afraid of reading WikiLeaks.
The Podesta files of the WikiLeaks, and there's long threads. There's threads of hundreds of messages, and also some supporting, you know, visual texts and things about certain places in Washington, D.C., you know, where these people frequent, like there really could be something scandalous going on there. But, you know, I think it's too early to judge. I mean, it looks that way. But, you know, nobody wants to call somebody a Satanist or a child molester, pervert or something like that until it's really obvious, except for one thing, and that is that Anthony Weiner, is a known pedophile because going after the 15-year-old. And then we also know about that guy who took both of the Clintons, I guess, in his jet plane and went to Lolita Island in the Virgin Islands there. And that's very suspicious, too. You see, that's very suspicious. More than suspicious.
It is extremely
criminal.
Suspicious. That's the same guy that he threw a party, like, within a mile or two of Trump's Mar-a-Lago down in Florida, and he invited Trump. Trump showed up, and there were a bunch of underage girls, you know, running around the pool and stuff. And he said, this is weird, and he left. So, you know, they were looking to set him up with something. They were looking to do it, and this is how they operate. They sucker people into stuff. And, I mean, that's just not his bag. He goes for the tall, mature model type.
I agree.
And, you know.
That's not his type.
It's pretty pathetic. No, and so I think this is going to come out more and more over time. And it's just pretty horrifying because it's the exact opposite. Here we are coming up on Christmas time where so many people put out nativity sets of the nuclear family just in adoration of the infant child. And it's exact reverse. And it's kind of how Satanism defines itself by by, you know, by being anti-Christianity and everything. And
defiling what is holy.
Yeah, and, you know, here, you know, this is a mad scientist show, and here we have people trying to legislate science by legislating mandatory vaccines, and now we know that some of these, you know, because they put it right in the package inserts, okay, this vaccine sometimes causes SIDS, mm-hmm. this vaccine sometimes causes anaphylaxis, which is an asthma attack which you can die of. I think that's the MMR can cause anaphylaxis. Never mind the autism thing. The DTaP causes SIDS and autism. They list them both in the package insert. And, mm-hmm. you know, if they didn't happen, why would they list them? It's like, okay, they put it right in front of your face, but then they lie to your face and say, no, it didn't happen. It didn't happen. It's almost like a sport, like messing with your head. And, you know, American people are just kind of sick of that stuff. Sick of having their minds messed with, you know, good is evil and evil is good. And men are women and women are men, and you get to pick what you are, and, you know, people are just sick of that stuff. So anyway, there is, I couldn't find another candidate that came as close as I wanted, as, you know, as far as Trump being so ambivalent about vaccines. I think he can be, you know, he's willing to educate himself, whereas, you know, the rest of them, Hillary and them, absolutely, no, we're going to mandate science. They don't care what the science really says. They're going to mandate it, just like they tried to mandate Galileo, you know, against Galileo. You know, this is as bad as the church in those days, trying to force the issue. So I think you told me that Trump has flipped in Florida. Yes, now Florida is in red on the front of Drudge Report, and now it's Trump 49, yeah. Clinton 48. So nothing
about
in Michigan.
I was looking at the returns when they were only about 200 votes apart, and then Trump took off. All of a sudden, he had like 5,000 or 10,000 more, which is about where it is
now.
But I am worried about Michigan. Well, Michigan, there's no returns yet, but Ohio doesn't look good, and. Let's see what else. I don't understand how North Carolina and Ohio could be turned around like that. He was supposed to get it, Ohio, because it's right in the middle of the Rust Belt. So something must be going on there. Let me click on it and see if.
Well,
we'll
see in time. I know there's been a lot of squawking about voter fraud that they are going to try to hand it to her.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm so glad they can't. Flip everything. It wouldn't be this close in Florida if they could possibly. And here, Georgia, right next door, Trump is up 71 to Clinton's 27.
Oh, wow. Let's see. No, I'm just looking here at Ohio. It's flipping, and they've got a running total of the vote margin. It's really bizarre. It's like a
Ohio?
Not a scale exactly. Yeah, if you if it's possible for you to flip on the screen, can you do that on your screen? Not really.
Yeah. So you want me to click on Ohio?
Yeah. Click on Ohio, on the Drudge thing, and it goes to the New York Times. This particular one goes to the New York Times, and then you go down there and it says, "Heads up, forecasts may be volatile early in the night. These numbers will become more trustworthy once more votes have been counted." I don't see how much has been counted. Let me see how much has been counted. 30%.
Wow, it's kind of like a speedometer.
It's like a speedometer.
Win in Ohio.
Vote margin.
But it's still in the toss-up area.
Plus 2 points. Yeah. It's constantly changing. How could it be? It's flipping from 1% to 2%, basically.
Oh wow.
As low
so
as
now,
0 point something, actually. Yeah.
Wow.
Let's see. Likely,
isn't this
very
so
likely.
Scary looking?
It's still in the toss up. Yeah, I think I could go nuts watching that thing spin.
Nope, they flipped it up for just a split
crazy.
Second.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But you know what? It says it's a forecast. It's not even the actual count, it's a forecast.
And look below that, it has, counted remaining. So that they figure 49.1 to 48.1 for Trump. That could change. That could very well change. And besides, this is the New York Times.
Yeah, it's not even 50% of the vote counted.
They may not be. Yeah, they may not.
This is a very clever
right
graphic,
now.
Though. I got to hand it to them. It's a very clever graphic.
I got to get out of it. I don't want to watch that. Maybe I'll return to it. Now, what's another one that's good? Ohio. Okay, we saw that one.
I wonder. Brother. So Michigan still says 0-0, but it's Well, a judge needs to update his thing. It's not 0-0 anymore for Michigan.
And Pennsylvania
They're leaning toward Clinton.
What? It said it's 0-0. What's this here?
But click on it and go into the actual chart. And the New York Times has the clever graphic for Michigan also.
Their best guess is that Hillary Clinton is on track to win in Pennsylvania. How many votes have come in? What the heck is this? Look at the votes.
Keeping up with the numbers.
They have maybe, that looks like 1% of the vote is in.
Yeah, and they're already
51.
Calling it.
That's crazy. That's good. No, they're not calling it, but they just say their best guess is that Hillary Clinton's on track to win. No, I don't believe it. Are we going to go nuts on these things or what?
Now I'm going to close those tabs. I'm sure people just want to hear vaccine inserts instead. I bet not.
I know. You tell me, how could Trump have 71% and Clinton 27% in Georgia?
I don't know. How much, what percentage of that vote is in?
Well, let's see. I'm just going down. It's going up. It's going up by the moment here. This looks like about... Trump has about 20% or something. Clinton has about 15. I don't know. It's hard to judge. 51.9 to 46 is more like it. Yeah, we're getting the wrong totals there. It's closer to... I don't get it. I really don't get it. It says win Georgia, 73% Trump. But on the scale down below, it says 51.9% Trump. Somebody's going to have to explain this to us.
One is the forecast and one is the counting, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
I have to... Mondo, I got to close that window. That's too much for me. I've been stressing out all day, and the cat's been sensing I've been stressed out all day. I mean, she's been sitting on my lap more than usual and all this.
You think she wants to calm you down a little bit?
But yes, I think the cat's trying to comfort me. You know, the cats are wonderful animals. Yeah. They really are.
And they're so non-political, you know.
That's true.
They just want
I know some ladies that are actually, it's a woman and her husband, and they're into Wiccan stuff. They're not Satanists, but they're Wiccan stuff, and they have cats. The cats don't seem to care. Or the cats can't tell, as long as you feed them.
Cats don't need much, you know, a nice soft place. Somewhere they can jump on top of to see things. A view in a window. They like to get in a sunny window sometimes, you know, so they can get some sunlight on their fur. Yeah, interesting little creatures, really.
Yeah. Now, didn't you and I watch 60 Minutes? Was it Sunday night? I couldn't find a copy of it. I tried to find it on. So, they were talking about the Zika virus. And the Zika vaccine, and commented at the time, gee, that guy's a little too happy about it. And I'm like, that's exactly what I thought about when they were talking about the Ebola vaccine. And that woman was on Greta Van Susteren, when Greta Van Susteren was still on the air, and she was interviewing this Ebola researcher who was talking about the virus and all the different forms it could take and how she could manipulate the Ebola virus in order to develop a vaccine. And I guess she was going to develop a vaccine for each different form of the virus she could make it take. And she was just too giddy about it. And then about halfway through the interview, she kind of like switched hats and, oh, and this would be great for the economy because all think of all the research dollars that come through our department. And I'm like, You know, wouldn't the economy be better served by people not getting sick and dying, you know, so they can actually go to their jobs and raise their children and not be burdens on the government and all this? And that upset me so much that, you know, it's like, oh, my God, there really are mad scientists in the world that have no clue. And, you know, and where do we get the definition of a mad scientist? It's the ones that are power hungry and predatory and see their research as serving themselves instead of serving mankind, and that's not the purpose of science. The purpose of science is to, you know, for the betterment of mankind, not culling the population and taking control and killing people. And you know, so every science can be a two-edged sword. You know, it's supposed to advance science, advance, you know, mankind, but obviously there are people who are turning them into weapons. And so during that episode, I note on the 60 Minutes, and if I can find a copy of it, I'll link to it from my site, Mad Scientists Exposed. But what they had planted all over the country were these stockpiles of anthrax vaccine. I think it was anthrax vaccine that they were stockpiling. Yeah. And they were, you know, talking about stockpiling Zika vaccines and all this. So if they're stockpiling it in all these different places in the country, it's probably, I bet it's where they shipped all those envelopes of anthrax virus to. You know, the CDC sent it out to, you know, labs all over the country in unsecured packaging, you know, and nobody ever paid a price for that. No heads ever rolled or anything like that about this unauthorized mail out of anthrax virus all over the country. But now they've planted all these stockpiles so that, you know, they can just grab you off the street. They've got the vaccine right nearby handy, so they can stick you in a cell and shoot you up. It's just, you know, it's, you know, this is what they're going to do. It's like stockpiling the food supply, stockpiling the coffins on the FEMA camps. You know, it's like the FEMA camps are scarier than the natural disasters that they're, you know, they're always talking about. And, you know, they're talking about the sun, and I guess we talked about that a week or two ago, about the false flag EMPs, false flag bombs, that they're going to blame the sun. If they can't blame the Russians, they're going to blame the sun. And there's going to be hell to pay if their chosen Hillary doesn't pull off the election tonight. I mean, against the American people. Because Obama's a vindictive soul. He implemented the TSA gate rapes the same week as his shellacking in the 2010 election. I certainly did not see a coincidence there. I saw it as revenge against the American people for shellacking him, putting down his agenda. So anyway, do you have any comments or you catching up on the numbers there on your screen?
Well, I could wax philosophical, you know. I went to school in the 60s, and I finished my college in about 71, 72, something like that. It seemed like forever to get out of college. But I remember that, you know, I took this some advanced humanities class, liberal arts and humanities, and it was kind of like this understanding that you know, that people had as they went through school, that population was going to be, you know, the population bomb. We were going to have,
That was the name of a book.
Yeah. But even before, maybe even before that book came out, which I don't know if it was in the 70s or 60s, there was this feeling like, you know, gosh, there's a lot of people. They were on the way to go from 3 billion to 7 billion people, you know, like in 20 years or whatever. And it was just, there was this undercurrent of uncertainty and despair that the population could not keep going up the way it was, and that something would be done, something would have to be done, or we would run out of food, we would run out of water, or we'd go to war or whatever. Well, I think the first thing that happened is we didn't run out of food, did we?
People are living, you know, we've been improving the technology. You can plant in a lot denser plots than we knew you could. You know, there's people are growing their own. Hydroponics has come a long way. You know, I think ultimately in the long term, every house is going to come with a greenhouse built on the side of it. You know, if they let you live in a house, right? Or apartment building rooftops. You know, I've seen some documentaries on apartment building rooftops with, you know, hydroponic gardens up there and you know, selling the vegetables right off the roof. And
do you, think that if a person, started hydroponics and maybe had a greenhouse or maybe had, in a courtyard or something, had some green plants, do you think that they would have the ability to make themselves a salad every single day out of that, or a couple of salads, or,
it depends on the plants that you grow and how fast you grow them. And I mean, there's a lot of know-how involved. And I know I've been trying my hand here, and, the temperature swings in Arizona are just very severe. You think, okay, it's the heat beating down the plants, and then it's the, the frost in the winter times. But really, the temperature swings are like 35 to 40 degrees, and I think that just beats up the plants. Even in a mild season like now, like November, it's mild in Arizona, and I think the high today was in the 80s. I think the low is going to be in the 50s or 60s, and that should be pretty good for, So I don't know.
What if a person just did alfalfa sprouts or something like that? Couldn't they make a hell of a lot of alfalfa sprouts, and they come up pretty fast, right?
They come up pretty fast, and sprouts have more nutrition in them than full-grown plants. It's like the plant packs it all in the seed, and when, the seed comes up, it makes it easier to chew. Just eating straight, beans or seeds or whatever, there is some competition that your body has to overcome, the resistance of the hull of the bean or the seed to get the nutrition out of it. And so, but once you've sprouted it, then sprouting conditions, the water and the warmth and all that, that's overcome that enzyme that keeps the seed dormant until it sprouts. And so then it's easier to digest. That's why they have you soak your beans overnight before cooking them. It's because that overcomes that enzyme on the outside of the bean that makes it hard to digest. And so
Now let me go back to the thesis here. If many of us could have enough of these hydroponically or whatever, taking up a limited amount of space, but still enough that you could get, like, just let's say one glass of that green juice, every day for every member of the family or whatever, then that could be a survival mechanism. That could be a replenishing, self-replenishing survival food, superfood, that could keep a family going and going and going, like the Ever-Ready battery. And it wouldn't take that much. It wouldn't take that much. Now, if you could do the same thing in some other area, if you could have some other kind of thing.
You'd have to devote a whole room to it, That's, it's easier said than done.
With pasta.
Yeah, but pasta?
Potatoes.
Well, you'd have to grow wheat and stuff, and there's really very little nutrition in that anymore. But I know they're working on this stuff. For the spaceships to Mars and things that they're planning, space stations, they're trying to develop the technology of hydroponics to a perfection. There is an appliance I've seen on YouTube that you can buy. It's like the size of a refrigerator, and you stick all your sprout trays, your seed trays in there, and it waters them and it shines lights on them on specific timers, so that you have the stuff for this week in the bottom tray, and then it's ready. It tells you exactly when it's ready to eat. You just cut off the sprouts and make your salads or make your smoothies or whatever you do. And that's quite a pricey appliance, So I just have this little vinyl and plastic snap together thing I got from Home Depot that I can just water my sprouts by hand.
Wow.
Well, that's pretty fun. And I guess we're getting off track here, but, long term.
No.
People need to be self-sufficient.
The whole thing is these malicious people. Suzanne, it goes back to these malicious who have no value for human life. And where did it come from? It came from the thought of that life is cheap, that we can't possibly have 10 billion humans on this planet, that somebody's got to go, that babies are not important, and life is not important, elderly people are not important. Well,
and that's all religious
beliefs.
If you believe you're the next person next to you, if you believe other people are not important, if there's too many people in the world, then my answer to these people is like, okay, then you be the first to go. If you're telling me that, Why should you outrank my child? If you think that there's a problem, you be the one to leave, not my kid. You know, not me, not my kids.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
You know, and I know they're working on these survival technologies with, you know, for the space program. So I'm sure we can implement them on the ground. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's what I'm talking about, these self-sufficient appliances.
Hey, Suzanne.
What?
New York Times, live presidential orders, Ohio. Our best guess is that Donald J. Trump is on track to win in Ohio. That just came in. He's got 56%.
Wow. Because, Drudge has Clinton ahead by 2 points in Ohio.
Wow. Okay.
Well, wait a minute.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and I clicked on the Ohio thing. So you're not looking at – are you looking at the New York Times?
I'm looking at the New York Times
it's swinging wildly in Ohio.
Down below, it's a little bit different. Down below, it's Trump has 49 and Clinton has 48. So, but take another look at that and see how weird that is. It looks like the red little thing isn't as long as the blue thing.
Yeah, it's swinging wildly, and when it says blue, that sentence says, our best guess is Clinton is on track to win, and then it'll flip and say our best guess is Trump is on track to win. They just say they don't know. It's funny graphics. And they are – it's funny. Down below they have
– yeah, but this is better news than there was 10 minutes ago.
This will trick the eye. They show Clinton was 48 and Trump was 49, but
mm-hmm. –
the
then
way they designed the graphic, the 48 is actually longer than the 49. So if you don't read it,
why is that? Is that
you
because
think Clinton's
of
winning.
Voters or something?
If you don't read the number, you think Clinton's winning. But if you look at the bar chart, I'm going to take a screenshot. If you look at the bar chart, you think Clinton's winning. But if you read the numbers, you see Trump is winning.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
That's
okay, I took a screenshot. That's
crazy.
Ridiculous. That's absolutely ridiculous in this nation.
The first thing I saw is our best guess is that Donald J. Trump is on track to win in Ohio. And Ohio is an important state, and he needs it.
But if you look at the bar graph, they fixed it to look like Clinton's winning. You have to read the numbers to see that Trump is winning.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's
I'm going to go back. I'm going to go back to Drudge and see what else is going on in here. Ohio.
Refresh the page.
You know what? It's not the time. Drudge is not refreshed. Drudge has Clinton 49 and Trump 47. It's screwy. They have it reversed.
Well,
look on it. Ohio, Clinton 49.
I think he's doing hand-coded HTML, which takes a lot more time than one of these JavaScript graphics.
Yeah.
With everything got going on.
Uh-huh. We'll have to see what happens.
I don't know.
That's bizarre. Well, you've been all over the place with this show, haven't you? This show has been all over the place.
Well, I mean, it started with the executive order, and that's what this election is about. It's people are sick of having stuff shoved down their throat, and the executive branch of the government just policing itself and harmonizing with the world agenda of depopulation,
Sure.
Boy, I took that screenshot. That's really funny. And we've only got like 2 minutes left here. So
let me look at Drudge. LAPD is going into riot mode if Trump wins. They're expecting riots in Los Angeles if Trump wins. That's
why people are in gunshot shops to protect themselves.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. North Carolina is tightening up. It was
it sure
6 points.
Is.
Now it's Clinton by two.
It sure is.
50 to
they're
going to
whipsaw us all night, just like they did with Brexit.
It's updating again. 63 to 35 in Georgia. He's keeping that Florida lead, 49 to 48. That's wonderful.
Wow.
Michigan is coming in. Early returns. Well, they could change. All these early turns could change. It's very exciting. Very exciting to be looking at this map with you.
Watching, yeah. So I should be giving the next host some time to log in and set up shop here. So we've got only like a minute or so left, and so everybody stay tuned for the Proof Negative show. He's on next, and I'm sure he'll be following the the updates on the on the election too. Mm-hmm. I'm just biting my nails, and I want every one of Obama's executive orders just slammed down. Mm-hmm. So everybody tune in again next week, and we'll have some. We'll definitely have the results by then, unless it's another month-long lawsuit like 2000. Anyway, good night, Ed, and good night, folks, and be the best candidate. And good night.
We know who that is.
Yeah.